Well, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I invite you now to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. The title of my message for this Father's Day is A Father's Checklist. A Father's Checklist. Now, let me just say right out of the gate that my message is going to be a little different this morning. First of all, we won't be staying in just one passage. We're going to be looking at many, so you're going to get a spiritual workout. Everyone say that's okay. That's why we come to church. And secondly, my message is going to be more practical than informational. Okay, so it's going to be a little heavier on application than explanation. Everyone say that's okay. Thank you, I feel so much better. But listen, it's okay. Because we don't come to church just to learn God's word. We come to church to live out what we're learning. Amen? And so to get the ball rolling, let me ask you this question. Who here likes checklists? Be honest. Okay, so three of you. Well, as a type A perfectionist, I don't like checklists. I love them. And I love them, and I use them in my day-to-day life because they assure me that I'm staying on task and making progress, right? Checklists, they actually, in a weird way, they make me feel accomplished. They can motivate me. They drive me to get a job done. And thankfully, when it comes to fatherhood, God has given us a checklist to follow. And can you guess where we find this checklist? Okay, you're holding it in your hands this morning. It's the good old B-I-B-L-E. And in the Bible, God has given us many, 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 everyone say many, many, many practical principles for dads to follow. But since we all have lunch plans today, I just want to focus on three of those principles. Everyone say it's okay. Thank you. You're really ministering to my heart this morning. All right, so three principles for dads to live by. Here they come. Here's the first. Jot this down. Give your family the Bible's truth. There is only one source of absolute truth. It's not our culture. It's not our government, praise God. It's not you. It's not me. There's no your truth, my truth. There is only one source of absolute truth. And again, it's the B-I-B-L-E. And so, Dad, Your job is to root your family in the B-I-B-L-E. And I want you to see this for yourselves in Deuteronomy 6. All right, let me quickly set the scene. The curtain opens with the Israelites on the precipice of entering the promised land. Okay, so the Hebrew people, they're about to invade Canaan to take up residence in the land that God had vowed to them. And so really, this is a family scene, okay? Just picture it. There's husbands, there's wives, there's children by the tens of thousands. They're all on the edge of enemy territory. But before these families can occupy Canaan, they must first invade and conquer. And once that's accomplished, they can then settle down and begin living normal lives. And it is that fact that most concerns the Lord. Here's the reality. Success, prosperity can go to our heads. When we experience success and prosperity, pride can creep in and then comes spiritual amnesia. We think we got there. God didn't get us there. And that's his fear. God knows that once the Israelites settle in, if they're not careful, they could become soft, indulged, lazy, and indifferent, apathetic. So in order for success that he's about to give them, to keep that from going to their heads, the Lord really reminds the people that they need to fear and follow him all the days of their lives. And how can that happen? How can this keep going on from generation to generation? Well, through faithful instruction of God's word in the home. Notice it starts in the home. And to help these Hebrew dads be effective as teachers, Moses lays out three helpful pointers. All right, so dads, you're going to want to jot this down. All right, jot this down. Three teaching pointers for dad. Okay? You know I love lists, so just buckle up. A lot of lists are coming. All right? So here's the first teaching point. Hear the truth continually. Okay? Hear the truth continually. Notice this in our text beginning in verse 1. All right? So all eyes on God's word. If ready to dive in, say go. I was waiting on you, but let's get going. Verse 1. Now this is the commandment. These are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Now notice the result when it's done effectively, that you may what? Fear the Lord your God and keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, both you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now here it is, verse 3. Therefore, what's the next word? Hear, O Israel. Hear, dads. Hear, and be careful to observe these commands, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, what's the first word? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Okay, so two times in four verses, Moses commands the people, specifically these Hebrew fathers, to hear. Hear these commands. Notice, he doesn't say, read, O Israel. Why? It's because they didn't have their own leather-bound copies of Scripture. So in order for these dads to instruct their families in the truths of God's word, they first had to be instructed. They had to first be learners, hearers, listeners. Listen, dads, the best teachers are always students. They hear the word continually. Or as the Apostle Paul would say, they let the word of God dwell richly where? In them. See, dads that are getting this done, that are giving their family the Bible's truths, they're first digging into God's word and they're mining those truths for themselves. And then they go beyond that, and then they'll actually take those truths and they'll model them in everyday life. How's that going? Dads, are you a student of the word, a learner? It's amazing. We'll pour ourselves in and watch YouTube videos on how to change the faucet sink. I don't, but some do. We'll learn and learn and learn how to lower our handicap at golf. But are you pouring yourself in to learn, to hear the truth? How about this, dads? Are you setting the example in your home by sitting under the teaching of God's word whenever possible? We're not missing church because I got to hear God's word. I don't care who's preaching, good or bad. It don't matter. It's the word of God. It's all the same. I need it. We're going. So get out of bed. We're skipping breakfast. We're going. Now, don't be that harsh. Are you plugged into a men's Bible study? We got small groups that are meeting that every time they sit under the teaching God's word, we're hearing God's word. Are you there? Dads, are you having a regular, personal, quiet time where you are hearing from the Lord speak to you through his word? You're reading and you're studying and you're memorizing. You're applying God's word on your own. Dads, are you hearing the truth when you're driving in your car? When you're exercising at the gym, when you're mowing the grass, are you allowing your mind to be filled with the truth by maybe listening to a biblical sermon online or to truth-saturated, Christ-exalting worship music. I was mowing the grass yesterday, and my neighbors just heard me screaming as I was singing. There's times I'm crying because I'm just overwhelmed by the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for me. Are you allowing God's word to take you to the mat and to change you? Dads, if you want to teach the Bible's truth effectively in your home, you first have to hear it. You have to study it. You have to learn it. You've got to let it dwell richly in you. And then this, jot this down. Here's the second teaching pointer for dads. Love the Lord fervently. Okay? Love the Lord fervently. Notice this in our text. I didn't make this up. Look at verse 5. We all know this verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words, these commandments that I'm giving to you today, they shall be in your what? In your heart. Okay, now in Scripture, repetition always serves as a highlighter. Okay, so when you see a word repeated, it's stressing something. What word does Moses repeat? It's not that hard. It uses it three times. Three letters. Love the Lord your God with all. Thank you, man. All. What's he saying? True love for God is total. It's not partial. True love for God, it's unquestionable. It's never casual. Okay, we're to love God with our entire beings. And here's the question, how do we love God this way? Moses has already told us, by observing his word and then obeying those commands. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. He then said this, those who keep my commandments, they're the ones who love me. Okay, so loving God is obeying God. Obeying God is loving God. If God had a love language, it would be obedience from the heart. And those who truly know and love God, they're obeying him, not perfectly, aren't you glad? But they are obeying him increasingly more and more and more. Here's the reality. We cannot love the Lord our God with all of our mind and heart and soul and strength on our own. This is impossible for every unbeliever. Why? They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have a new, regenerated heart with those new desires for God. And so someone who has been born again, one of the ways it's going to show is you're going to love God more and more and more, which means you're going to obey him more and more from the heart. Dads, you got that desire? Your kids see that heart in you? Here's the truth, dads. Listen, you cannot teach the Bible effectively if you're not obeying him from the heart personally. What do we call that? Hypocrisy. And our kids can smell it a mile away. It's impossible for you to convey to your kids the necessity of clean lips if you're habitually practicing profanity. It's impossible for you to convince your kids of the value of honesty if you're always dishonest. It's impossible for your kids to grasp the importance of care and compassion for others if you're always running roughshod over others. It's impossible for you to teach your kids the importance of being patient when you're always showing a quick fuse. You see, it's impossible for you to transfer to your kids a principle you do not personally embrace, and that is a love for God that permeates all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Every Father's Day, I call my dad, and I always say the same thing. Dad, thank you for not only teaching me the Bible's truth, but Dad, thank you so much for modeling it for me. Dad, thank you for showing me what it really looks like to love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. It's the same thing in every Father's Day card. Let me ask you, dads, will that be written in your card today? Will your kids call you and praise you for how you loved the Lord fervently and it showed and how you obeyed increasingly, not perfectly? You see, dads, truth is more permanently transferred from a father's life than his lips. Modeling the truth is just as important as preaching it, but if you want to preach it effectively in your home, then Moses says, first and foremost, you got to hear. Hear. Hear it continually. Be a student. Love the Lord fervently. Be obedient. And then this, here's the final pointer. Jot this down. Teach the truth diligently. Okay? Notice, look at verse 7. You shall teach them, that's the commandments, the laws of God, teach them diligently to your children. Okay, so dads, first notice that the responsibility to teach the Bible's truth in the home, it fell on whose shoulders? Yeah, Moses wasn't going around Israel and teaching backyard Bible clubs. No, Moses, his job was to teach the dads, and it was a dad's job to teach the who? The family. Okay, so listen, dads, it's not the Sunday school teacher's job, the youth pastor's job, it's not even my job, I'm off the hook, to raise your kids in the fear and admiration of the Lord. That is whose job? It's your job. God has put that task in your box. You're to teach them diligently. How do we get that done? Well, Moses shows us two ways. All right, first, our teaching is to be structured. Okay, there needs to be structured times of teaching. That word teach that Moses uses, it's a Hebrew word that means to deliver a lecture. Okay, so think a college professor. Everyone just got bored, right? Any lecturer worth his or her salt, they will have a lesson plan, true or false? True. Right, they'll do some prep beforehand. They'll come up with an outline like I do. They'll have some notes, right? They'll think through their thoughts. They'll put some effort into it. Okay, that's what Moses is talking about when he says, dads, teach the Bible to your kids diligently. He's saying have regular, structured, formal times of instruction in your home, and dads, come prepared. Put some effort into it, man. Okay, we call this in my home family devotions. I have friends that call this family worship. I love that. I'm stealing that. Family worship. But dads, are you having and leading, planning, preparing, studying, and leading in those regular times of family worship where you're reading and studying the Bible together, you're helping each other live out what you're learning? Okay, so our teaching, it needs to first be structured, but listen, our teaching must also be non-structured. It's to be informal, casual, spontaneous. Look at the rest of verse 7. Moses goes on to say, but not only are you to teach them diligently to your children, but you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, dads, look for teaching moments in the mundane. Bring the word of God wherever you are. Whether you're shooting baskets or jumping the trampoline or then laying on the trampoline because you're out of breath. I'm telling you, Dad, some of the greatest classrooms are living rooms, hiking trails, bonfires in the backyard. Dads, those are awesome teaching moments. Those are the times when you should talk about Jesus and what he means to you and what you're learning from him. Listen, that is what will make your Christianity authentic. Christianity isn't a Sunday lifestyle. It's to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and on and on and on in the cycle of living lifestyle. Okay, so Jesus Christ, Scripture, God's family, His church, we just don't put that in a box and label it Sunday. No, it's to permeate every sphere of our life. And so, dads, whether you're resting or working, formally instructing or casually relating, whether you're fishing or hiking or driving or golfing or watching television, you're to be depositing the Bible's truth into the lives of your kids. If you want to do that effectively, then follow these pointers. Hear. Be a student. Love. Be obedient. And then teach. Be diligent. Amen? That's just the first principle. The first principle for us dads to live by. Here's the second. Jot this down. This is big. Give your family your time. Listen, dads, time, I kid you not, time is the most precious commodity. Why? Once you spend it, it's gone. There are no refunds with time. Have you noticed that? Not only that, but I don't know how much time I got. So listen, how you use your time, it reveals what you love and value most. So dads, what are you communicating to your family by how you use your time? Are you giving them your time? Are you giving them you? And we see this principle all throughout Scripture, but one of the greatest examples, the clearest example, is in the life of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see this principle for yourselves, so turn over to the right in your Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. All right? 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be kind of bouncing back and forth this morning. We're going through this book as a church, and so I'm not going to go into much detail. I want to steal my thunder for later. But 1 Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul to his spiritual sons and daughters who he had led to the Lord who were living in Thessalonica. So Paul's kind of like their spiritual dad. And Paul opens his letter as a proud papa. He praises his spiritual kids for their faith and their hope and their love in the face of incredible, intense persecution. But then here in chapter 2, Paul kind of goes on the defense. You see, there were many false teachers who were attacking his character. They were claiming that Paul was exploiting the Thessalonians for gain. In other words, he was just using them to make a buck. And so Paul, he silences his accusers by reminding these believers how he was like a nursing mother and a loving father to them. How he selflessly and sacrificially invested his life, his time, his energy to lead them to Christ and then to disciple them. And he did it all without wanting or receiving a single dollar. But I want you to notice this principle beginning in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul writes, "But we," that's him, Paul and Silas, their little missionary team, "but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. And having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God." Now here it is. We imparted not only the gospel of God, the Bible's truth, but also our own what? There it is. Their own lives. "Because you became dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, how we labored day and night that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preached to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a" what? "As a father does his own children." Why? "So that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Okay, there's a lot there in those verses, but dads, I want you to first notice the words labor and toil in the phrase working day and night. Okay, so those words, they picture hard work, sacrifice, unselfish diligence. as a spiritual parent, not wanting to be a burden on his church family, Paul chose to get a job. You know what he did for a living while in Thessalonica? Anybody know? He was in the tent-making business. Apparently, that was profitable back then. Kind of like building homes today. And while on the job, Paul worked hard. He made his tents with excellence. No doubt he had a checklist. He labored. He toiled all day. Paul says even sometimes all night. Why would he do that? To pay his own bills. But also to maybe meet any needs of anyone in his church family. So you see, dads, a God-honoring father is a hard-working one. He's not lazy. He works hard. He labors. He toils at work to meet the needs of his family. But listen, dads, not at the expense of his family. Someone once said, "Happy is the family who has a model of diligence in the man of the home, but happier is the family when dad keeps the right perspective on his diligence." And what's the right perspective? It's the same perspective that Paul had as a spiritual father: family first. As Paul says to his spiritual kids in the faith in verses 8 and 9, he's like, listen, you recall, you know, you were there, you witnessed how hard we worked as tent makers, but even more so as disciple makers. You saw firsthand how we labored and toiled in imparting to you not just the gospel, but our very own lives. In other words, we made time for you. We made time to share Christ with you again and again and again. We made time to teach you the scriptures again and again and again. We made time to equip you to make disciples again and again and again. We made time to show you how to walk in a worthy manner before God and others. We invested our time in you. Paul had the right balance. He had the right priority. He was a great tent maker. But his biggest concern was being a great spiritual father. In fact, his mission for coming to Thessalonica wasn't to build a tent-making empire. His mission was to see Thessalonians come to faith in Christ and then see Jesus Christ formed in them. And that's exactly the priority, the mission we must have for our families as fathers. Our greatest desire should be to see our wives and kids all know and love and follow Jesus Christ all the days of their lives. That's success. But listen, that will never happen if family does not come first. This reminds me of a story of a father and a son that I recently stumbled across. A little boy said to his father, "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure, son, what is it?" "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" "Well, son, that's really none of your business. But why do you ask?" I just want to know. "Can you please tell me how much money you make an hour?" "Well, if you must know, I make $100 an hour." "Oh," the son said with his head down. "Dad, can I borrow 50 bucks?" The father was furious. "The only reason you ask that question is so you can borrow some money to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense. Then you march yourself straight up to your room and go to bed. You think about why you're being so selfish. I don't work this hard for you to act this way." The little boy quietly went to his room and he shut the door. The man sat down at his recliner and he started to get even angrier about that question. How dare he ask such a question just to get money? About an hour later, he calmed down and he began to think. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that money. I mean, he's never asked me for money before. The father went to the door of the little boy's room and he opened the door. He said, "Son, are you asleep?" "And no, Daddy, I'm awake. I've been thinking. Maybe I was too hard on you earlier, you think? It's been a long day, and I took my aggravation out on you, and so here's the $50 you asked for. The little boy sat straight up smiling, "Oh, thank you, Daddy." And then he reached under his pillow and he pulled out a bunch of crumbled dollar bills. When the man saw that the boy already had money, he got even more angry. "Why do you want more money if you already have some?" "Well, Dad, I didn't have enough, but now I do. You see, Dad, now I have $100, so can I buy an hour of your time? Please, can you come home early tomorrow? I want to play with you." The father was just crushed. And so he begged his son for forgiveness. Dads, that is just a short reminder to all of us who work so hard in life. We must not let time slip through our fingers without spending some time with those who really matter to us. Those who are the closest to our hearts. Psalms 90:12 says, "Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Here's my interpretation. Lord, help me to count my days so I can make my days count. I did some numbering this week. I did some counting. My daughter Lila, she's 10. So I got like one more year before I'm not cool. I got just a few more years, and she might not want to like cuddle on the couch anymore. She may not want to blow Dad kisses on her way to school. I live for that. She's got one more year in elementary school, and then she's off to middle school. I got one more daddy-daughter dance to embarrass her at. Lord, help me count my days so I can make my days count with Lila. I don't pray that. My son Kellen, he's 13, so I'm not cool anymore. But in a few years, he's going to be behind the wheel of a car. That is frightening. Look out. But when that day comes, when he has his license, he may not want to hang around the house anymore. He may not want to lose to Dad in basketball in the driveway anymore. He may not want to play video games or play board games or go to the park, throw the ball. Less than 5 years, he'll be graduating. Here's the scary thing. In like 8 years, he could be married. Lila's never getting married. I did the numbers. I have 5 summers. 5. That's it. And they're gone. Lord, help me to count my days, so that I will make my days count. See, I was a big failure at this. I put me and ministry and my name ahead of them, and there's moments that I'll never get them back. And that's why I can't read that passage without tears. Can anyone relate this morning? Dad, here's what I've learned. Life is really slow days, but it's really fast years. And here's the deal. You'll always have time to make more money. You'll always have time to enjoy more hobbies, but you don't always have time to make more memories. So invest your time wisely. Follow the Apostle Paul's example. Don't get overly committed, so involved in your work or some away-from-home project or hobby that it drains you of your time and energy to those who need you most, your family. Always remember, dads, The greatest gift you can give to your family is your time, your presence, your influence. It's you. And so here's a little motto to help you give your time to what matters. Okay, you're going to want to jot this down. This is a motto that I'm now trying to live by. I want to pass this on to you. Wife above work. Children above career. Home above hobbies. Christ above all. Wife above work. Children above career. Home above hobbies. Christ above all. Here's the deal, dads. When Christ is truly above all in your life, I'm telling you, your wife will come before your work. When Christ is truly above all in your life, you will put your children ahead of your career, home before your hobbies. When the vertical is right, the horizontal follows. And so if the horizontal isn't functioning properly, sometimes it's because the vertical isn't right. When you love God most, you'll love your family best. When you love God most, you'll love your family best. Because loving God is loving others. Loving others is loving God. All right, so wife above work, children above career, home above hobbies, Christ above all. Give your family you, your time. Give them the Bible's truth. And here's the final principle. We'll get through this one quickly. Give your family testimonies of God's goodness and grace. Here's the deal. You exalt God's name and you expand his fame in your home every time you, dad, share a testimony of how God has been good and gracious to you. And we see this principle on full display in Psalm 145. All right, so turn with me one last time in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. The word psalm, it means song. And that's fitting since this psalm is a song of God's majesty and love. It's entitled A Praise of David. You see, long before there was ever Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin, there was David. He was the number one songwriter in Israel. And God used this gifted artist to pen some of the greatest psalms or songs in all of the Bible. And no doubt Psalm 45 was one of those smash hits in Israel. I guarantee you, you heard this song on the Jewish radio all the time. Ever listen to K-Love or Family Life? It's the same songs, right? Psalm 145 was like on repeat. And but notice this principle in the lyrics of this song. Beginning in verse 1, David says, I will exalt you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now here it is, verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men, or that older generation, shall speak of your might and your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They, the generation, older generation, shall utter the memory of your great goodness and will sing of your righteousness. Okay, so David, in his song of praise, he challenges every generation to praise the works of God to the next. In other words, he's calling on moms and dads and grandparents who know and love the Lord to commend their kids and grandkids the works of God in their life. Tell them of his mighty acts. Speak of his majesty. Tell them of God's power and awesome works. Proclaim his great deeds. Celebrate with your family his abundant goodness in your home. Speak, share, tell testimonies of all the great and astounding things that God has done for you. Dads, here's the truth you must remember. When our kids are not taught the Word of God and told the works of God, they will lose the wonder of God. When our kids are not taught the Word of God or told the works of God, they will lose the wonder of God. You see, dads, your kids, they need to know that God is good with chapter and verse. But listen, more importantly, they need to hear how God has been so good to you. How he's provided for you when money was tight. How he guided you through tough decisions. How he comforted you when you were hurting. How he healed you when you were sick. How he delivered you from temptation. But above all, they need to hear how God saved you from your sin and what your sin deserved hell by giving you saving faith in his son Jesus. Yes, your kids, they need to read of God's goodness in the Bible. But listen, they also need to hear of his goodness in your life. They need to see it. Your kids, they need to know that God is always faithful with chapter and verse, but they also need to hear how God has been so faithful to you. How he has come through for you again and again and again and again, even though you were not always faithful to him. Yes, they need to read about God's faithfulness in the Bible, but they also need to hear from your lips how faithful God has shown himself to you. Your kids, they need to know God is merciful. Slow to anger, aren't you glad? And forgiving. They got to know that with chapter and verse. But they also need to hear how God has been merciful to you. How God has forgiven you your many sins. Listen, dads, I'm telling you, do not be afraid to make your failures known to your kids. Let them know how you blow it, but also let them know how God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. How Christ poured himself out to cover that sin. Share with them how God's now changing you and giving you victory over that sinful stronghold. Yes, your kids need to know and read God's mercy and forgiveness in the Bible, but they need to hear how God has forgiven you. They need to see it in your life. When we fail to teach our kids the Word of God or tell them the works of God, they will lose the wonder of God. So, Dad, do not hold back your praises. Whether you're at home or at church, whether you're around a bonfire or around the kitchen table, like David, tell your family of all the great and astounding things God has done for you. When they come to church, the person they should be hearing singing the loudest is you, because of what God has done for you. Several years ago, Professor Nick Stinnett, the chairman of the Department of Human Development and the Family at the University of Nebraska, he conducted a fascinating survey to determine what makes families strong. His study included both single and two-parent homes. He and his research team, they observed and they interviewed families in South America, Switzerland, Austria, Germany, South Africa, England, and the United States. And all sorts of questions were asked of these families, such as, how do you deal with conflict? Do you experience power struggles? How do you communicate? How do you handle adversity? The researchers asked questions that provided information and insight into the entire range of human relationship patterns within each family. And again, the goal was to discover what makes a family strong. And Dr. Stinnett writes of his findings. He says, altogether, we studied over 3,000 families, and we collected a lot of information. But when we analyzed it all, we found 7 main qualities that every strong family had in common. Here they come now. Strong families are committed to the family. They spend significant time together. They have good family communication. They express apologies and appreciation to each other often. They have a spiritual commitment to God. They're able to solve problems in a crisis. And here was the number one quality. Are you ready? They had a strong father figure who was present, leading the home. You see, dads, your role in the home is vital. It's irreplaceable. A father's words are never forgotten. Their touch leaves an indelible impression. And the memory of their presence lasts a lifetime. So dads, listen, your mark, the mark you leave in your home, good or bad, it's permanent. Your impact, it will be lasting. And so if you want your mark to be a godly one, if you want to leave behind a spiritual legacy that lasts, well, here's a little checklist to follow. Three principles to live by. Give your family the Bible's truth. Give your family your time. And give your family personal testimonies of God's goodness and grace. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we first and foremost thank you that we can call you Father. As we sang this morning, you are a good, good Father. And God, we can call you that only because of your grace. Our adoption came at a great cost to you. You gave up your one and only sinless son. Jesus willingly left his fellowship with you in heaven. He left his throne and he came to earth. He lived a life we couldn't, a perfect one. He then died the death we deserved, a horrific one on a cross. He did that to atone for our sin, to pay for our sin. And then, God, he rose again as the victorious one, conquering sin and death. And then, God, in your goodness and your grace, you drew us to saving faith in who Jesus is and what he's done on our behalf. And it's only Christ's blood, it's only his sacrifice that allows us to be forgiven and accepted and welcomed into the family circle. And so as John says, oh, what love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. So God, thank you for being our Father, that you are a perfect heavenly Father. And God, thank you for giving many of us the precious privilege of being a father. And God, here's the reality. We can't do it. We cannot do it without you. It's impossible in our own strength. And so, Father, be our strength. May the Holy Spirit give us the strength to love our lives well, to love our kids well. May the Holy Spirit be our strength to live out these principles, to flesh them out. May the Holy Spirit lead us to give the Bible's truth, to give our time, to give our testimonies. I pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.